Welcome one and all to the Nintendo Gazette. Yes, my name is Richard and this was the show that was previously called Skip Frames, and I'll explain all of that shortly coming up after this, and I'll give you the rundown of how this show goes and what content to expect to see coming out of this show. So without further ado, as I said, my name is Richard and this is this week's podcast. So I apologise to all Patreons over at Skip Frames for the delay in releasing a show. I completely and utterly understand if people are annoyed, but I do apologise. Currently, obviously, many people know the world is gripped in a global pandemic, and we've been basically getting our absolute shit together here to make sure that the house and everything is all sorted. Please tell that things are going to be okay, we think, for now. So that's enough dwelling on the current situation. Let's explain what's going on with this show. So I sat one night and wasn't very happy with how Skip Frames was doing and realized that it's much more of a broader show. It's kind of general in the terms of gaming and it never really had any direction. And I'm useless, to be fair, without direction. Ask my wife. So essentially, I wanted to change it. And I looked at the stuff that I've got going on around me, what I enjoy, what I don't enjoy. And I was just sitting there going, well, I'm playing my Switch a lot. And I'm falling in love in the last sort of couple of years with Nintendo again. So I thought, why don't I change this to an actual Nintendo podcast with a slight twist? I'm pointing to my camera like you can see me. Essentially, the twist is this. I'm going to look to write a paper format as well. Released once a week with a three-page spread, if you like, asking guests to come on and write a column for me, but also do a features page, which you guys and girls at home listening can get involved in by sending your Animal Crossing screenshots, your Mario Maker levels, those kind of things. And all of this will be explained in due course when we start building little elements to the show. For now, what I want to do is just build the show as a new show for Nintendo News with a little bit added extra. Now, I've got into esports recently and I may be adding the odd esport article into the show from time to time. Rocket League is on the Switch. I enjoy it. I'm enjoying my sim racing as well. So all of that could come into play in this podcast. And that's where I want to go with it. I want to sit and talk about Nintendo's products, but I also want to still add a little bit of flair that makes it a little bit extra. And I'll announce before we do the sim racing esports stuff or the other esports stuff that this is an esports section. And I kind of want to make it more newsy, if you like, without throwing the weather in there to really give you something else. Now, I know there are many other Nintendo podcasts out there, and one of my good friends, Bill, does Nintendo Switchcraft, and there are Nintendo Powercast, and essentially, I like what they do. I like what those guys do, so I want to kind of not copy, none of that, but it's bring my own take, my own spin on Nintendo's going on. And if I'm honest, it's the most exciting thing of console-wise that I can really get behind. I mean, the new Xbox and the new PlayStation isn't really setting the world on fire for me. I have a strong enough PC to play games that will be out on the PS5 and the Xbox One, you know, and the Xbox Game Pass on PC is enough for me. So that's really enough babbling about this podcast and how it's going to work. It's Nintendo news through and through. It's talking about the Nintendo stuff that's out there, looking at smaller esports. You've got Killer Queen Black, but also looking at sim racing and, you know, those kind of things. But the bulkhead of this is all about Nintendo. Nintendo Switch, retro. We're going to be looking at games I haven't played that I should have played, from the Famicom right through to the SNES, right through to the GameCube, the N64. We'll be looking at all those kind of things and everything in between, first impressions, reviews, but based on the Nintendo Switch. The bulk of this show will be based on Nintendo and Nintendo's products, with a little bit added flair for good measure. So that's this podcast. I have changed the names. It's got a new branding over at Patreon. I don't know if Patreon's been done yet, but Patreon will be done. So you can support this show, and Patreons will go on. So once we start doing the write-up, we'll get the write-up early. I'll always get this podcast early. It'll release to the public on, I'm going for either a Monday or a Wednesday. I'm going to record it at the weekends, and then it'll be released to Patreon. And then Patreons will get it first. So, and you can get this show, the show here, for as little as a dollar. And the writing article we may put into a separate Patreon tier because it's going to take a little bit more time to get everything in place. And there's, you know, it's a like computer written articles, that kind of stuff. And I want to try something a bit different to see if I can push myself to produce content in a different format as well. So that's the Nintendo Gazette. Please, if you are listening, don't turn off and go, oh, Christ, another. Just, you know, give us a chance. It's going to be on Anchor, anchor.fm/the Nintendo Gazette. I will confirm all of these, but I believe it is. There is a Twitter handle, the Nin Gazette. You can look for the Nintendo Gazette on Twitter. And we have an email, which is thenintendogazette@gmail.com. And you can get in touch with the show in many different formats. You can on Twitter, Instagram, and email as well. So, without further ado, which seems to be my favorite saying, we're going to crack on with Nintendo's latest news. And today we're going to be discussing the Direct, which was a couple of days ago, the Mini Stealth Direct. We're going to be talking about Animal Crossing, the fact that the latest pandemic that's striking the globe could have caused the sales of the Switch to spike in the UK, and a few more news stories as well.
Here we go!
So, yes, I'm going to start with the biggest news of recent Nintendo stuff. It's the Direct. I'm going to thank Games Radar here for having a write-up because I forgot to write games down that were coming out from this Direct. We had all been hankering and pondering when the next Direct would be. And obviously, as I've said a couple of times, we've had this global pandemic. You kind of feel yourself going, right, okay, let's take a step back. It's probably not going to be happening very soon. But 2 days ago, on the 26th of March, we got a Stealth Direct. I like to call it a Stealth Direct because no one saw this coming. Like, it just literally appeared out of nowhere, which is great, you know, and that's it's an incredible thing to get surprises. So they had this as a Direct Mini, and it was a Direct Mini. There wasn't any major stuff that we knew wasn't coming. But at the same time, there wasn't any big stealth drops, i.e. there wasn't any, like, with Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild 2, anything like that. We didn't get any of those kind of things in this Direct. But what we did get was some really good stuff. It opens with Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. Sorry, I feel like I couldn't catch my breath properly for some weird reason. Anyway, as I said, the Direct started with Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. This is a remastered, but it looks almost like a remake. It looks really, really smart. They showed a really lengthy cutscene of some in-game footage, and they also had a new epilogue chapter dubbed Future Connect. Future Connected. It looks really good. I mean, you can tell that they've really using the Switch's processing power to really favor this kind of game. My biggest, like, shame, if you like, isn't finishing Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I'm probably 60 hours in, and I need to go back to it. That game is, once I got my head around the combat and stuff, that game is fantastic. It's one of the best JRPGs I've played for a long time, and this looks to be incredible. I never had a Wii U, so never played this. I never had a new 3DS, the one with the bigger processing power, so I never had that. This just looks amazing, and it releases on May 29th. May, according to this Direct, we are all going to be broke in May. Xenoblade is definitely more JRPG goodness. It looks to be action-based combat. Now, if you have played the original one on the Wii, let me know. I haven't played the original one on the Wii U, sorry. So I would love to know your thoughts and feelings. How does it compare to Xenoblade Chronicles 2? All those kind of things. On the back of this, I'm definitely going to sit down and try and get through at least the main story of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I've got all the DLC. I've got everything there to actually try and complete. That game is huge. I've never known anything like it. Apart from, like, The Witcher 3, the game is ridiculous. So Xenoblade Chronicles and Future Connect, which is the epilogue chapter, comes out May 29th. And then, out of nowhere, 2K dropped 3 game announcements. And a lot of us had hankered for especially 2 of these series. And I've always said, ever since playing, like, Wasteland 2, Mutant Dawn Zero, or whatever it's called, or Phantom Doctrine, that XCOM would be an incredible title on the Switch. And long behold, Bioshock, Borderlands, and XCOM are heading to the Switch. So we've got Bioshock, all three of them, from the first, second, third, and they're amazing games. If you never played Bioshock and you're looking for a system to play it on, this is a great time. I can't wait to see how they translate. Remember, Bioshock, all three of them released on previous generations consoles. So they released on the PS3, the Xbox 360, and that was for Bioshock 1, 2, and 3. I believe 3 released on previous generation consoles. And then you've got the remastered stuff they released onto PC. I know there was a lot of bugs and stuff with the PC version, but those games are some of the best 2K published games for a long time. They're incredible. Ignore the microtransaction bullcrap that you get with like 2K's NBA series. These games are incredible. And then we saw Borderlands. You're going to get Borderlands 1, the pre-sequel, and Borderlands 2, not Borderlands 3. I suspect Borderlands 3 is in a more powerful engine that would require some serious horsepower from the Switch. So there's no Borderlands 3. I may be wrong. We may see it. It's a shell-shaded style graphical game. If you love looter shooters, you love teaming up with four buddies, diving in, I believe you're going to get all the content, so you get all the hard stuff as well. That's a lot of content there out of those two games. So six games already from 2K, and then you've got XCOM as well. So XCOM 2 is coming. And it's got the War of Chosen expansion and the four DLC packs. So there's a lot of content. Now, we didn't get any prices. These are releasing on May 29th. There was no prices with these, but at the same time, I'm hoping that they don't do it dirty and release these at full price. £30, £35, £40. Is an incredible price, but it's probably going to be near a 50. Whether I pick these up or not, I don't know. XCOM is probably out of the three. The XCOM is probably going to be the one that I want to grab, because XCOM 2 is a game that I've got, not played, but love. I love that idea. I just don't sit down long enough and play tactical games. Though, thanks to a friend, I'm starting to get into more tactical-based games. Next, we had DLC, Shadow of Doom for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Unfortunately, my son had this and he traded it in. It's out now, so for everyone who's still playing that, there's a new DLC. I'm glad they are supporting this. If it goes on offer, I may pick it up. I love the Marvel Alliance games, the 1 and 2. Just never had a chance to play this. And then we had a new Capcom game, which is to be described as a deep-sea side-scrolling adventure that lets you explore a strange world under the waves. It's previously available, Apple Arcade exclusive, and has now come to the depths of the Switch. So this is called Shinsuke Into the Depths. This looked gorgeous. Like, it really did. I sat there with, my jaw to the ground, really. How beautiful this game looked. Didn't realize it was a Apple Arcade exclusive, but this looked genuinely wonderful. Looked kind of Metroidvania, Terraria-style game. I don't know how much content is here for your buck, if you like. But I think this is about £16-17. It's under £20. And it just looks bloody fantastic. Honestly, it's a really good looking game. We haven't got Apple Arcade anymore. If we still had it, I would test it on Apple Arcade to see what it's like. It just looks really, 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 really pretty. So that's dropping. We're going to get on to Animal Crossing shortly, but there was some Animal Crossing news and update is coming, but I want to discuss Animal Crossing in its own segment, so we'll get to that. Then we had Good Job. Good Job looked hilarious. You solve environmental puzzles before, but have you ever launched a projector through the 5 office walls to get a meeting back in order? You will once you've played Good Job. Yes, that is a tagline, no word of a lie. And this reminds me of Human Fall Flat, but less kind of slapstick. But I think essentially you start as a worker in your dad's business, and the idea is to basically work your way up to CEO. And honestly, I think it just looks a fun puzzle game. Honestly, it really does look really fun. There is literally a cutscene where he gets the projector and he pings it through the office walls. It looks solid. Honestly, looks to be good fun. Again, I think this is under £20. I think for me, it might be a little bit on the pricey side. I don't know. I might be wrong. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'll have to wait to see some of the other serious reviews out there. But I like the look of it. And I suppose the best way to describe it is if you like the look of it, then really I should go out and buy it. Then we got Catherine Full Body. I never played this cult game. The developers of Persona made an oddball psychological puzzler about infidelity, which is always great. And now you can finally play its expanded version on Switch. Get ready to push some symbolic blocks. This has got a serious cult following. I've never played this. I've seen it and I've always gone, I quite fancy playing it, but it just looks completely messed up. And I suppose that is the idea. So yeah, that's now out. So Catherine is, comes out, sorry, it's not out now. It's July 7th. There was an update for Ring Fit Adventure. I don't have this product. Would love to get it. But you know, haven't got it. And they've got a new rhythm mode, which lets you work out to songs from Super Mario Odyssey, Splatoon 2, Breath of the Wild, and more. And there's also a female option voice now, apparently. So there you go. If your Ring Fit Adventure gets an update, and that's a free update. Then we had an announcement for King's Bounty. This comes out in 2020. King's Bounty 2, sorry. The 1990 tactical RPG that inspired games like Heroes of Might and Magic gets its own modern follow-up. You'll lead armies through massive battles and while interacting with friends, rivals, whose personalities are shaped by your choices. So I don't know much about this series at all. This looks very much like a hex-based tactical game, very much in lines of Civ. I expect this is the kind of games that inspired like the Civ series and where it's gone. You know, those kind of things. It looks good on the Switch. It really does. Like I said, I've never played these games, so I'd love to know thoughts and feelings about this. It looks good. Like I said, I've got into the tactical series now, so this could be a pick, but it's out at some point this year. Next, the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. We had a release for a new fighter, which came from ARMS. So I was slightly shocked by this. Nintendo's long-forgotten fighter brawler game has now got a fighter in Smash. There you go. I wonder if they're going to be doing something with ARMS this year. It'd be incredible. I know people who played ARMS and they love it, and then they kind of cut the servers quite quickly. So maybe ARMS is on the way back. I don't know. Maybe Nintendo was looking through the catalog of games that they've got and gone, oh, we had a game here. It was called ARMS. There you go. So that's released on June 2020, and that's hasn't really been said too much, but yeah, don't know. But there was also a note that says Switch Online members can also play ARMS for free on March 26th to April 6th. That's what makes me think, which is now actually, so I might download it and give it a go, which tells me they might be doing something with ARMS. I don't know. The next one is probably a second game that I'm really excited for. Bravely Default 2. I downloaded the demo and next week's show, I'll be discussing the demo in more depth. I've just started playing the demo. Apparently the demo is like a complete side to the actual game. This releases in 2020 and it's the next chapter in the series inspired by classic JRPGs. Tells a new story with four fresh-faced new heroes. While you'll need to wait to play the full game, you can pick up a free demo in the eShop now. And I believe, as I said, the demo is kind of a separate entity to the game. It kind of, you know, gives you, it's like a purpose built to show you the mechanics and things like that. So I never got to play Bravely Default on the 3DS and really wish I had done. Such a proper JRPG fan. This is a game that slipped underneath my radar. And I look forward to giving it a go. So the demo is out now. And I will be next week, like I said, giving you my rundown of what I feel about the demo. Next was Clubhouse Games 51 Worldwide Classics. Hoping they got online. Oh, it has got online, I should say. You get like backgammon, chess. You get air hockey, clubhouse. Loads of different games. So there's that. Again, was a bit of a surprise, which is Ninjala. It's a free-to-play, looks very Splatoon-like. And the blurb here from GamesRadar is, if you love Splatoon's bright visuals, fast action, you should give Ninjala a look as well. It's an online combat game that sets players against each other using off-the-wall ninja weaponry and gun-powered abilities. And you don't have much to lose because it's free to play. And that's very true. It looks like a very Splatoon style. You've got this gun that gives you the power and you can run off walls. And it looks really, really cool. And I think it's going to be one of those games that essentially takes the world by storm a little bit because it's free. As long as they don't bury in microtransactions, that's all I'm hoping that they don't do, because, you know, we don't want games full of micro, you know, don't get me wrong, they're making a game that's free. If they're going to add cosmetics, yeah, okay, I'm okay with that. But do it in the Warframe or the Path of Exile sense, where you don't just hammer people with these microtransaction bollocks, but you allow people to purchase those things to support the game because they want to, not because they need to. Next, we got some Star Wars updates. We got Jedi Academy. I think these were leaked. And we got Episode 1 Racer. That's cool. They're coming soon. No idea when. The Panzer Dragoon remake. Never played it, but that's out now. And then you got Trials of Mana, which is April 24th. The demo is on the Switch. Haven't got round to playing the demo yet. If I get chance this week, I'll do Bravely Default and Trials of Mana demo to give you my kind of thoughts and feelings. And then we were left with the Sword and Shield expansion pass revealed a new Pokemon, which was a fighting style Pokemon that comes into the Isle of Armor. And it's the fighting type legendary Kubifu. And you can clear one of two towers. You can't clear both. You can clear one or two towers. And it will, you know, I think it's the dark and water. And that'll give a different like evolution style to that Pokemon. And that kind of rounded out the direct. We did get news of Fusa, which is coming out in autumn 2020. Elder Scrolls Blades. You know, if you don't want to play Skyrim, you can download the free-to-play version of Blades. Because, yeah, that comes out in spring 2020. Warhammer 40,000 Mech Avicus, May 2020, which I think is a Diablo-style Warhammer game. I never played it. Looks good. Vigor closed beta happens on April 9th. I don't know what Vigor is, actually. Burnout Paradise. That was another shock. We're getting Burnout Paradise remastered, which is cool. 2020. Saints Row 4th Reelected is out as of recording now. The Legend of Heroes Trials of Cold Steel comes out on June 30th. This is a game I am quite excited for. Mr. Driller and Drill Land, which sounds really wrong. It comes out on June 25th. And then Minecraft Dungeons, Spring 2020. That's another game I'm excited for as well. So that was this week's Direct. What I'd love to know from you guys is, what games are you excited for from the Direct that came out of nowhere? Let me know your thoughts. Drop me an email at thenintendogazette@gmail.com. Hit me up on Twitter at the Nintendo or the Nintendo Gazette on Twitter. Have a look for it. Let me know which games you're going to be playing, what games you're currently playing, and all those good things from Nintendo. So we roll from the Direct, and as you know, I did skip from the Animal Crossing news, because I want to sit here for the next 326,000 hours and discuss Animal Crossing. Yes, Tom Nook's capitalism simulator, where you are in debt to, I don't know if he's a raccoon, but he's some animal. He's also a greedy bar steward after all of your bells. Yes, that is the world of Animal Crossing New Horizon. It launched on March 20th, and I was very grateful to one of our listeners and viewers that donated me the money to purchase this game and experience this game firsthand. What an experience it's been. It's kind of a strange game to really be involved in. In the best possible way. The reason being is I've never played an Animal Crossing game. I know there's been a few beforehand, and this has been 7 years in the making waiting for it. And I know it was review bombed on Metacritic because people don't like how Nintendo have implemented the island system. I'm going to get to that and my thoughts and opinions of that shortly, but let's discuss the core gameplay. You go to an island, and basically you fly out there and Tom Nook sets you up in a tent. And the idea from there is to pay Tom Nook back. And the first thing you have to pay back is your Nook miles. And he basically makes up this thing of you traveling there, cost miles, and he's going to give you these Nook miles. And the idea is to pay back your Nook miles. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he slaps a massive fine on your backside for wanting a house. Yes, you've upgraded your tent to a house, and now you've got to find 98,000 bells to pay back. And essentially, that is the premise of this game. You are there in debt to this person or animal for the rest of your days to come. So what can you do in Animal Crossing to pay back this much money? Or do you have to essentially pay the money back? Well, there are a few things that you can sit down and do while whittling your life away, paying Tom Nook back. And essentially, let's look at the museum. You can catch bugs, fish, and different critters, fossils, and you can open up a museum for Balthazar, the owl, and you can basically give him items of, like I said, fossils, critters, bugs, fish, to open up and store them in a museum for you and your visitors to go and have a look at. And it's a kind of a nice way of progression of you going around and seeing essentially what you've collected and what you still need to collect. You then have your everyday Animal Crossing life thingies, from planting trees, planting flowers, sell, you know, and just genuinely, apparently I can't speak, doing things you do in things like Stardew Valley. You can farm, you can make your bug gardens, you can pick oranges, build furniture, and so on. Tom Nook does give you objectives. You can, where I am currently in the game, is I'm just chosen the three plots for the houses. And essentially what Animal Crossing does do you, it does give you an anxiety if you're behind other people. But the best way to describe Animal Crossing is actually, it's a game to be taken at your own pace. There's no need to worry about what everyone else is doing because the game is designed for you to take it at your own pace. And that's essentially Animal Crossing in a nutshell. Now, the reason it's being reviewed bomb is because you can only have one island per Switch. You can have, if you've got like six or seven profiles on your Switch, they can all play Animal Crossing, but they have to go onto your island. And progress can't be move forward unless it's done by the landowner, if you like. There was a special name that Animal Crossing gave the person, but I can't quite remember what it was. But the landowner, if you like, the game owner can progress the tile or the story and those things, but the other people can visit your island and do stuff, but they'll always play on your island. And this has got people angry and kind of annoyed, the sense that Nintendo are being greedy, or they're being, you know, sadistic with how they do things. And quite frankly, I think it's stupid. My opinion is, you know, if you've got one Switch, but multiple people want to play on, you know, an island, or that, you know, you want multiple people to play on Animal Crossing, I see the island as kind of a backdrop. It's a platform for you to enjoy the space and do as you please, you know. And I think for this title, it's kind of a nice way of doing things. It keeps things in one place. And if you've, say, you've got your children and they want to do something on Animal Crossing, you can help them and you can guide them in a sense that you can add it to your island. I do get people's upset, and people think Nintendo are just being greedy and they want you to go out and buy multiple Switches to have multiple copies of Animal Crossing. But I mean, is it really that much of a problem? Let's be honest. Is it worthy of being review bombed on Metacritic? Because ultimately, what does that solve? Not a lot, because you draw more attention to the game, because news outlets like myself talk about it, which then drive up sales because people want to be involved in this kind of... And it just doesn't make any sense. And it's just this vicious cycle of this, you know, review bomb will drive up, you know, and I don't get it. I don't think it's a problem. I haven't come across that, but at the same time, I am the only one in my household playing Animal Crossing, and my son, if he wants to have a go at it, he can just join on my island. It doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. I don't get it. So that's kind of my thoughts and feelings about the review bomb. I think it's silly. I think any review bomb, apart from the Star Wars Battlefront 2, that was totally, totally justified, but mainly any review bomb just doesn't make a lot of sense. There you go. That's my two cents. And people may disagree with me. People may completely and utterly think I'm talking gibberish and out of my backside. But I genuinely feel like there is no need to review bomb this. Unfortunately, I don't really have too much more to say on it. There you go. And you can tell me I'm an idiot. You can tell me an idiot all you like. But there you go. That's my thoughts on it. But my thoughts on Animal Crossing as a game for a first-time player it's a fun experience. It really is. And currently in the current state of the world, where we're all always being covered by the news and this pandemic that's gripping the globe, it's kind of nice to have something that's a bit brightly coloured and a little bit daft in my hands. That's simple as that, you know, and that's my attitude. It's just a bit daft, a bit silly, and it's nice to turn it on and go to an island and do some bits and pieces, and you can turn it off again and you can come back to it later. And that's Animal Crossing in a nutshell. It's just a good time. You know, it's not much more to say about it. I don't know how many hours I've now put into Animal Crossing. But I've done a fair bit. I'm quite happy with what I'm doing so far. I'm down to, oh no, it just says first played 8 days ago on my Switch. I don't know when it will start giving you an actual time frame of how long you've put into it. I don't know. There you go. That's my thoughts and feelings on Animal Crossing and its review bomb state. I will say before I go, what was announced at the Direct was an Easter Bunny update during April, from April 1st, which is, as of recording, in about 4 days' time. We're going to see, they gave us a teaser of an egg-gathering DIY crafting. And so you essentially get the Easter Bunny and you get some, what's it, some different things that come from the Easter Bunny that you can make crafting things. I literally forgot what I was going to say. I just have to say this. Actually, the pole vaulting is just a really fantastic experience in this game. I love the pole vault action. Great. So that's my thoughts and feelings on Animal Crossing. I've tried to wrap this up two or three times, but I keep forgetting there was always something else to add. I want to see your creations, your islands and stuff. And once we get the written feature up and running, we will then feature your islands and your creations in on the paper version of this podcast. So get them sent in and I'll tell you more about it shortly. And I just wanted to quickly, briefly say that we've got, apparently Nintendo Switch is sold out everywhere. Now, this could be to do with the current global pandemic in the UK, in the US anyway. This comes from Metro. Nintendo Switch is basically sold out everywhere, with only ones available being sold at ridiculous high prices. After a couple of high-profile games and are looking to suffer some minor delays because of COVID-19. And now we are seeing the effect of hardware sales, specifically Nintendo Switch. With so many people forced to stay at home, there is a natural and a growing desire to be entertained. Play some board games. So it's not surprising to see the Switch play some board games, says the guy who does a Nintendo podcast. Switch sales shoot up. What is kind of a surprise, though, is that the console handheld hybrid appears to be almost completely sold out. Here in the UK, both Game and Shop 2 have no Switches on offer at all, while Amazon does apparently still have a few at the time of writing. Their only form is third-party sellers and are quite frankly being sold at ridiculously prices, with used ones being offered at roughly £750. That's absolutely stupid, and you should not be making a profit off other people's misfortunes. You're a bad person, whoever's doing that. So Forbes has reported it's doing the same in America. GameStop, who was forced to close down. No surprises there. That long pause was for you. And I think right now, right here, right second, I'm going to give the dumb award to GameStop. And Best Buy are completely dry. So there you go. It just seems to be, you know, with everything that's going on, we are forced to stay indoors currently in the UK. As of last Monday, it's a 3-week lockdown where you can only go out for essential supplies, medicine, and one exercise a day to hopefully curb and combat the virus outbreak that is going on. But there you go. Nintendo Switch is sold out everywhere. If you are selling a secondhand one, don't put your price up. Don't be one of those people trying to make a quick buck off other people's misfortune. That's not fair. That's wrong. That's disgusting and dirty. I get, you know, people are doing it because they think they can. Stop it. Sell it for the price that it should be sold at, secondhand. Don't make a quick buck, you bunch of buttholes. And lastly, Pinball Wizard Zen Studio brings tactical RPG Dread Nautical to the Switch this April. So another new game announcement, and this was on Apple Arcade. Zen Studios, best known for its recent years for games like Pinball FX3, has announced Dreadnautical, a horror-themed strategy RPG that's arriving on Nintendo Switch on April 29th. So hopefully by the time all this nasty stuff, we can play a horror game. Even better. It's described in full as a tactical turn-based RPG featuring roguelike elements and has a charming yet captivating eerie atmosphere. That promises to be one of the most unique video games released in 2020. Here's a full rundown. And this is courtesy of Nintendo Life. They've got a trailer of it. It looks pretty cool. The art style is pretty funky. And there's nothing wrong with a good tactical RPG, I'll tell you that now. This is the type of game that would run very well on the Switch by the art style. It's kind of that, again, that shell-shaded, I can't say it, shaded, style of art. And we've got Vice President of Publishing, Mel Kirk, said Zen Studios wanted to branch out and prove it was more than just a pinball wizard. Sorry, I had to do that. It's also looking forward to allowing its development the freedom to create games they want to play. Well, that's lovely to hear. So that's coming out on Nintendo 29th. No, it's coming out on April 29th, not Nintendo 29th. I don't actually know what that said then. But yeah, that's coming out. That's cool. And also just want to bring your attention to, if you haven't, and if you're listening to this show quite late, you would have missed this, that the Nintendo eShop on the Switch has a massive sale on right now. Yes, there are some incredible games at a good price. By just looking at your Switch, I'm waving my Switch at my camera. My camera's not even on currently. But you've got Final Fantasy IX for £8.49. Octopath Traveler, if that's your thing, half price at $24.99. Final Fantasy VIII, the best Final Fantasy at $9.59. Final Fantasy X, the second best Final Fantasy at $22.49. So you've got a lot of good prices of games. Final Fantasy XII is another good Final Fantasy at $22.49. So that's 50% off. The Collection of Mana series is 50% off. I think there's like a Square Enix style sale everywhere at the minute. Hard West is on offer. I don't know how much that is on offer for because I've already bought it, but it's on offer. The Flame and Flood, $4.49. I'm just going to literally rattle off some games. Dragon Quest also on offer. Northgard, 30% off. And there's much more. So if you are sitting indoors like myself currently, and you're looking for some games, there are some plenty good games on the eShop to get your teeth sunk into for a good price. And that is all I have time for this week. Thank you for everyone for joining me. You can support the show over at Patreon.com/TheNintendoGazette. You can head over to my Twitter. I believe the Twitter handle is like @TheNinGazette. But search for Nintendo Gazette on Twitter and you can find me over there. There will be an Instagram page sorted at some point. My wife started downloading TikTok and I've downloaded it as well. We may even set up a Nintendo Gazette TikTok. There you go. And you may see some stuff on there. I don't know. I haven't decided what to do with that. I may just delete the app entirely and throw my phone out the window for having such an app on my phone. You will be able to catch me next week again, being recording this show. This show is recorded over the weekend. We may be looking to go to do live recordings of the show. That was an extreme mouthful. And releasing it publicly on a Wednesday. But patrons will get it early. This episode will go out early. I haven't decided if it's going to be Monday or Wednesday, I should say, if I'm going to release. So do bear with me while I get a schedule for release sorted out, but we're hoping as of next week we can get the written article up first as well. And also do catch next week, we'll have a little bit of the esports news from Rainbow Six Siege. We'll be looking at the sim racing news and a Rocket League as well. So my name has been Richard, this is the Nintendo Gazette. Thank you all for listening. Oh, and by the way, you can catch this show on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast from. You can download the Anchor app and record me a voice message and get in touch with the show. I spouted on for nearly 40 minutes. I'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.